We're going to reconvene our planning, development, and real estate committee meeting. We just had an executive session to discuss two items. We have one change to our agenda, which I'd like my colleagues to approve. The general manager has asked to do a brief presentation on some upcoming closures. If there are no objections, I move approval of the agenda with the one change. Your second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
So let's move to our general manager, Mr. Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Over the Labor Day weekend, we did extensive work on our rail system. And I've asked Gerald Francis and Dave Kubitschek to brief the board and the public on what occurred, as well as the next big project that we scheduled.
Thank you, John. Members of the committee, and I'll try to be brief. One of the major objectives that we wanted to accomplish this weekend was to replace the double crossover at Pentagon City. Next slide. And these are some of the bullet points I'll go through real quick on what we exactly did. Addressing the NTSB's recommendation, we replaced number 8 guarded turnouts at Pentagon City. Now, this is also part of a program that we have been working on probably since 2004. Some of you are aware of some of the work that we've done in some of the other places. We also took advantage of replacing about what we tracked and tamped in a line, about 2,000 feet of rail, and replaced 800 cross ties. The 300 square foot of concrete was also part of the double crossover. When we took the double crossover out, too, we had to replace some of the concrete that goes along with doing that as well. One of the main points that also we want to look at is all work was completed in this one shutdown. And we looked at it and said without this shutdown, it would take us about 150 days, which would take us a little over almost 5 months. Now, some of you may remember is when we did these turnouts before, we were doing one each weekend, which was taking about 4 weekends to do this. And this took us 3 days to actually put in. And we had some initial prep work, but it took us 3 days to actually put this double crossover back in. From a customer's perspective and benefit, let's start with the internal first. The improves the system reliability and the flexibility when we're doing both maintenance and normal operations. And considering that this is the first double crossover coming into Virginia, sometimes we have special events and other situations that happen on the railroad. We end up using these crossovers to make strategic moves. And hopefully from a customer standpoint, that by replacing the 2,000 feet of rail as well as the 800 ties, cross ties, they will have a better ride quality along that alignment between Crystal City and Pentagon City. Minimize the impact to our customers, and that's what we achieve to do each and every time, is to try to minimize the impact for that day and also for the months and the years to come. When we replace these number 8 guarded switches, their life cycle is somewhere between 15 and 20 years before we have to go back in and really do this work. Next bullet says to reduce cost of repairs and extend the life cycle. That's what I pretty much mentioned before. It is about a 15, 20 year project once we replace it, and at the same time the cost that I mentioned before, doing this in this shorter window rather than doing it in 150 days. When I use the say 150 days, that's the window we look at from our maintenance perspective, which is usually getting on the track anywhere from midnight to about 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. in the morning. So as you can see, it's a very short window. Also took advantage of repairing some of the leaks and concrete that was chipping away at, I believe, the station at Reagan Airport. And also to, for a cell phone service infrastructure, to go in and do some infrastructure work. And this was part of the project that we have on our 20 key stations that was talked about a couple of committees ago. Now, I asked Mr. Kubitschek if he can use his laser to kind of point out what the number 8 turnouts are. We had a before and after slide, if you can see it, if Dave is straight to.
Okay. All right, this is basically, this is at Pentagon City, and this is the old track work. It's been there, you know, originally 30 plus years. This lower shot here is the crossover and then the switch assemblies. And what we're doing here is this new design is that we're putting, it actually has rail on, it has a back portion of the rail that protects on both sides of the wheel. It helps to keep it from walking up and potential derailments. So this switch assembly was very, very complex. It's the largest one, and also I'd like to say this is the first time that we've here that four switches in this type of concrete work has been done in this time frame, as Mr. Francis alluded to. Over here, doesn't really show up very well, but whenever we pulled out the old infrastructure, we had to go in and repair the concrete and stuff below it because of the age. It started to crack and it was moving around. And since these new crossovers are a little bit larger, more robust, so that way we can go through the a little bit faster as far as speed and stuff, we had to expand the base and fix that. And this is kind of like a finished product Tuesday morning prior to a revenue service where we were running across the interlockings and testing them out.
Switch machine, I guess.
Yeah, and we also did change out the switch machines and all the associated components throughout as well. So it's basically a brand new interlocking that'll be good for another 20 years. Okay. This right in here is to kind of give you an idea. This is a Crystal City portal exiting towards in the direction of the Reagan Airport. If you've noticed here at the bottom right in here, the walls on each side, we can't pull ties out. And so what we have to do is we literally have to cut these things in two with chainsaws or other devices. We're trying to find other equipment that we can rip this stuff out. But the machines that we generally have, you're able to extract them out on this side here, but everything is blocked. These ties were original 30-plus years. That we were working on. So what we did is we did both tracks, and this is kind of gives you an idea of the general condition. Very good shape, will be good for 20 plus years now. Up here, I just wanted to point this out. There is supposed to be a track there. Just to kind of give you an idea of the extensive, we literally ripped out the entire track assembly over the weekend. This is south of the Reagan Airport. This is special track work that actually ties into the aerial structure. And what we did is that we replaced it. We prefabbed, pre-built all of this stuff. We had our staff, and we ripped everything out in this time frame, had everything pre-assembled, and we were able to reinstall this. And then the finished product looks like this one over here, just to kind of give you an idea of the work that was taking place there in this shorter time frame.
Next slide. Excuse me. For bus service from Friday night, and we do it at 9 p.m. Friday night to Monday morning, we ran about 2,600 trips and carried about a little bit over 68,000 customers. We also use up to any given day up to about 63 buses. I think we use that on Sunday, and I think Saturday was one of our heavier days. We also had a personnel out there. You see where we had about 30 of our service operation managers, 68 of our metro employees who volunteered to be MIPS that day, and a number of police officers that assisted in this three-day activity. We're going to elaborate a little bit more on the operating committee on the September 24th, but I wanted to have at least Mr. Kubitschek talk about the Columbus Day, because we are going to do the same thing, replace the crossover at LaFont Plaza, just to kind of give you a heads up on what that's going to occur.
Okay, we generally have an outage on the Yellow Line Bridge for an annual inspection and repairs. So since we already have the Yellow Line Bridge, you know, shut down, one of our approaches was thinking of what would be the best time for us to work at LaFont. LaFont's complexity and infrastructure is pretty close to what we have at Pentagon City. The other component, why this was also very important for us, is that this is original equipment in there. We now, our operating environment has changed as well, because with the opening of, say, for instance, the baseball for the last 2 years, we more than quadrupled the use in this turnout area, not to mention that the Green Line operates 50% eight-car trains. So since we knew that we were already going to have an impact, you know, on the Yellow Line, we wanted to go ahead and take care of this these switches, but also would make sure that we would not impact whenever the baseball season, you know, comes about. And so their last game is towards the end of this month, and we'll be able to perform the work. Operationally, what we plan on doing is that we're going to beef up our service plan, where we will actually run the Yellow Line from we're going to have the yellow line run from the stadium armory and have it run around through Roslyn and come through the core, so that way it'll terminate in Huntington. So that way we're not adding any additional transfers, and that'll also help us with our increase in our core as well, to make sure that we have enough folks there to support it. We will have outages, or we'll close down the stations at Archives and Waterfront, because we're going to do a turn back at the yellow green line, where we have our best switch assemblies to work at. It will be a gallery place. And what this will also permit us to do is that where we have these areas shut down, not only at LaFont, but the rest of the railroad, we've got other major work activities that we're going to be taking place that we have these areas shut down at as well. So we'll have work on the bridge, inspections, welding repairs. Then we're going to have underground work, lighting, repairing of wiring and ceiling. And then at the 24th of September, we'll have a much more detailed plan as well.
That's the end of the presentation, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, first I want to start off by congratulating the staff for obviously what was a major undertaking. I do have some concerns still on the customer service component of it and the communications component. Just to share with you my own experience, Thursday night after I left the NVTC meeting, I was to take a train from Ballston to Van Dorn, where I got on. I took the train to Roslyn, where I waited 35 minutes for a shuttle bus to arrive. Once the shuttle bus arrived, it arrived with four others at one time. And so there were four buses bunched at one time, massive loading of passengers onto shuttle buses. We took the shuttle bus to the Pentagon. And when we got to the Pentagon, the first thing the station manager said to the people arriving was that the next train would be in 40 minutes. So we waited at the Pentagon for 40 minutes. Frustrated passengers asked the station manager why there was no communication between the individual and the bus bay at the Pentagon station and the station manager, because it became well known that as we were coming down the escalator, hundreds of us, there was a train in the platform that was just getting ready to leave that got three passengers. So the question became, why was that train not held for 5 minutes so that all of us could get on it? So the unfortunate thing is, I think a couple things that need to be worked on before the next closing. One is, how can we improve communications between those who are in charge of running the shuttle buses and are on the station platforms and the station manager in the station, to ensure that if there's a train there and we know there are hundreds of passengers there, can they not hold that train for 5 minutes and wait? That's one issue. The other issue was, the secondary answer of the station manager was that we can't communicate with the people upstairs because we're not allowed to use our cell phones. And so I think we do need to clarify a little bit what the very good new restriction that makes perfect sense is, that it is for operators of buses and trains. Yeah. I was never under the impression that cell phone use was banned by station managers or radio use and or by people who are in charge of relaying buses on the platform. And so unfortunately, while people were very patient knowing that there was significant work being done, a ride that normally would have taken 20 minutes, for me at least that night, started at 9:45 and ended at 12:05 by the time I got back to Van Dorn. And so I think we have to do this significant work. I think our customers expect it. It makes sense to do it. But I do think we need to pay a little bit more attention next time in how we communicate, and making sure that the people involved in these stations who are working understand that there needs to be some level of communication between those who are operating the shuttle buses, not the operators themselves, but the people in charge of relaying them at the two stations, and the station managers at the station. And I don't know as well the stations involved in this one, but I will say a secondary recommendation I would have is, if you're going to drop passengers at a station like the Pentagon on a shuttle bus, they need to know that their only option at that station is the rail after hours. There are no buses, there are no cabs coming in there after hours, there's nothing reasonable to walk to. And so we need to look at the stations we're sending people on shuttle buses to and make sure that they understand that once they get there, their only option is to take rail from there, because there were many passengers that night who didn't want to wait 40 minutes for the rail but had no other option. And so I, you know, commend the staff for the job they did. It's extensive work. It required us to close the station. I supported that. I think it was the right thing to do. Clearly, the pictures tell that story. But I do think we got some work to do in terms of communicating with our passengers before we do this on Columbus Day.
Thank you. I, too, would like to, first of all, commend Mr. Francis and Mr. Kubitschek on the presentation today, because we needed to see that the pictures do tell of the story. It's worth a thousand words. And although we all approved the work, because it was necessary and extensive, once you see it visually, you can see how much was accomplished in a relatively short period of time. And true, there was some disruption and some inconvenience to our customers, which we tried to avoid and tried to minimize. As Mr. McKay pointed out, you know, there's some lessons learned, and we can improve that even more next time in terms of the communication ahead of time and the communication in instances like, you know, when the shuttle bus is depositing a whole group of people.
Yes.
But all in all, it's clear that the repairs were necessary for safety reasons. So it was actually imperative, and when you contrast that with the actual 150 days that it would take to accomplish that work in such a short window, this reinforces that we made the right decision to get the work done over this time period. But I, too, would like to say that we have some lessons learned, and it'll be better next time. But thank you for the report, and thank you also for the work that was done within that time period.
I just wanted to ask regarding the, if you're looking at the outcome of the work that's done, we're very comfortable with the work that needed to be done and the time frame that you were able to do it. But I had a question, and I think Mr. McKay's goes to it. What did you hear from the customers about how it worked? You heard from a customer and a very graphic description.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've talked about our complaint system to determine whether or not we are following up on what our customers say is the problem, so that you can follow up and say, what do we do for the next time? Because I think if you don't do that, it may feel very smooth. It appeared very much to be smooth from the communication that we heard. But then when I hear this complaint, I hear a different conveyance. So do we analyze our complaints in that way to make sure that we are tracking what the customers feel? And before you respond, I would like to know if anybody shared the complaint that there was the lack of communication within the station and the platform, because those are things that too often we hear and we're not sure how it's working.
I understand. On that particular issue, I don't know the answer to that, but we can certainly look with Jack's group and the customer service call center and internally to make sure that we track that down and make sure that did get to us. And if not, we can certainly address it for Columbus Day and moving forward. When it comes to customer complaints, in this particular instance, I think we had about 90 or so.
It was less than 100.
Yeah, it was less than 100 phone complaints that came through the customer service line for us during this weekend. Not a huge number compared to the amount of people who were traveling. And so when we get those kinds of complaints, they do get categorized, and we do analyze that and share that with the operations staff as well, just so we can continue to improve. We also are going to be planning to talk to the Riders Advisory Council this coming, the first week of October, to make sure that we are addressing some of their observations as well, because I know that that's been a concern. We also held a conference call with the Riders Advisory Council just in general about our communications, and I think they'll be a good avenue for us to help help us continue to make these improvements too. But as far as your I think your question about how the customers' complaints filter down, that happens, and so that's it comes in through the call center, that's through Jack, it comes in, we take a look at it on the communication side and then filter it over to operations so that they can make adjustments.
So,
can I just follow up?
Sure.
Let me tell you what I feel is missing in your presentation, then, because I think to move forward to the next one, I think it would be good to say that these were the complaints and here what we thought were the barriers. And so when we move forward, here's some changes in the process that we're going to make. Because I think that's the piece that helps us understand that, one, the communication issue is being addressed, and that you actually are making some changes that constructively make the process work.
Indeed.
Just ask a follow-up question. So I know there's a lot of fear over the communication or lack of communication or perceived lack of communication over the Labor Day activities. What is the plan, sort of building on the lessons learned from this weekend, past weekend's activities, to put the word out early, communicate extensively with the riding public?
Well, we've already put out a press release about that, so that's already started.
That was
so
very effective the last time.
That was, well,
I'm being facetious.
Put out a very explicit press release on that right now. I think what you're going to see is a lot more engagement a lot earlier with our stakeholders for this. And I think the other thing is the explanation about the value that it will bring to customers, too. I'm not sure that we were as effective as we could have been to describe why it is we need to do this, what the benefit is going to be, and the context for it, especially things like, you know, is it a relatively low travel season or that kind of thing. Gerald, did you?
Yeah, I just wanted to add a kind of comment to what Mr. McKay, some of the lessons learned that you brought about. What we need to do a better job at, too, is making sure that the station managers, as well as our service operation managers who handle those shuttles, train operator, control center, know what's going on at a certain period of time. You know, to hold a train, and I know what you mean, if a train comes in and picks up three people, where there's hundreds that stay in there, we can hold that train, get those people on and carry them on. So we're going to do a better job of doing that, communicating with them on the Friday night that it starts, and having daily briefings too, because things changed and we found that out. Things could change. Crowds are different from maybe the Friday night to the Saturdays and Sundays. So it behooves us to get our team together early on in the morning and in the afternoon, whenever the shifts are, and just let them know what happened, maybe the shift before and how the numbers are going. But we got to do a better job on the internal communication side of it.
Thank you. Are we going to do a posting at the effective stations so that those who are using it now begin to get kind of notifications? Most of our riders are people who are facilities moving over, so posting is now.
I think that's a good point, and we will certainly do that. It's time for us to change out a few signs anyway, so that's a good point. We will do that.
May I also add, and I agree with the comment just offered, I came in on a King Street Braddock station, but the sign for the Labor Day closures is still sitting here right in the front entrance, and, you know, to me that's, I don't want to say that station manager, but certainly, you know, these are things that the station manager should be looking out for, and this happened almost a week ago and a few days ago, and he moved the sign, but it's still visible sitting there like this is immediately going to happen.
Operations on that.
Great. Thank you all so much. Let's move back to our agenda. I think that everyone had an opportunity to read the minutes of the June 11th meeting. I move approval of the minutes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We had two matters that we discussed in executive session. One was amending the sale of the Arlington Bus Garage property. Originally, the developer was going to take down the land in one phase. This proposed amendment would allow the developer to take it down in multiple phases rather than one phase. We had a very good conversation about it in executive session. I move that we amend the sale of the Arlington Bus Garage agreement to allow the developer to take down the site in two phases. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Graham.
I'm sorry I wasn't able to hear the earlier discussion. I have an intense interest in this matter, not only as a member of the board, but the fact of the matter, this development is located in Ward 1, and I have...
Oh, no, we're talking about Arlington.
This development is in Arlington, unless your ward has expanded.
I mean, you're trying.
I mean, you're not welcome, Mr.
I'm just back from vacation.
So moving right along, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. The second item we discuss, we discussed in executive session, and the one I think Chairman Graham is actually interested in commenting on, is the extension of negotiating period for the Shaw Howard University Florida Avenue parcels. As you may recall, the board back in April granted a 120-day extension for the WMATA staff and the developer to come back with a term sheet for a number of issues, including the inability to find an appraiser, the requirements of the District of Columbia for there to be compliance with the affordable housing requirements of the Duke plan. The staff is seeking a further extension of up to 120 days. So I propose that I move the extension of the negotiating period for a further 120 days. Is there a second? Seconded, Mr. Hilton. Questions? Mr. Graham.
May I incorporate my previous remarks?
Yes, sir.
How many extensions?
This property is in Ward 1.
How many extensions has this had?
This is the second extension.
And when was the award made? What was the date of the award?
June 2008.
So that we have now been contemplating this for nearly 16 months in terms of the ability to come to terms?
That sounds correct.
I think that, I am concerned about these issues, and I am concerned about, the concern goes to the ability of this particular team to do this project. And, you know, and we're also very anxious on Florida Avenue, very anxious to see the development of these parcels, because they have been the subject of controversy and blight, and which is continuing to this day. So there is an intense community interest in this. We have been repeatedly reassured. Everyone on this board knows the questions that I have previously raised about this matter, which have been going on and on and on and on. And I know there's great interest in having these particular companies do this particular project. And that is fine if they will do it. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm willing to support this. Last time this, the last extension, I voted present. I'm going to vote present again, but that is a form of not objecting. But is this the last extension for this?
So we gave the staff clear instructions that this has to be the last extension.
May we have that incorporated into the motion?
We may have it incorporated into the motion.
Because as sad as it would be to start all over again, you know, and all of the time lost, because for those of you who don't know the history of this development, this has been going on far, 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 far longer than 16 months. And there have been great complexities associated with this, which had to be dealt with at the outset. But then we got through all of that. There's been years of litigation. And this has been going on for many, many years, throughout my term on this board. And I think we've just got to have this assurance, Mr. Chairman.
So we want to give you that assurance, but Mr. Chair, this is not dissimilar to development proposals, joint development proposals that we've talked about ad nauseum in the year or so that I've been on the board. In fact, the prior item that we just discussed was teed up back in 1999, as I was reading the history of this project. Never really got to a finalized joint development agreement until 2005. We're 2009, 10 years after, and we're talking about taking down the first phase of development. So in the world of real estate, it's not atypical for negotiations of this complex nature to take some time. Fully understand your concerns about the capabilities of the team. That's why I think the WMATA staff has been doing its due diligence to ensure, one, that the developer has the capabilities to actually develop the project and can do it in a timely manner, but we are convinced that we're not convinced is the wrong word, but we've given the staff clear directions. I think Mr. Linton wanted me to sign an agreement to that effect, that this must be the last extension.
Let me just add, and then we can proceed with other discussion. This, we are now on the third principal development partner. Third. and you know, and I think there are indications, and I recognize the real estate market, I recognize the development market, but this thing has either got to go forward, and it's got to go forward now, or we're going to have to really take a very serious look at this again, definitely, at the conclusion of the 120 days. I just want everybody to be on notice. I don't want to be the skunk at the garden party, but this is not moving, and I'm not pleased with the progress, and I just want to be assured that this is the end of the extension.
Any other comments, Ms. Hilton?
Well, I'll just say that you know, I don't represent right now. I'm in Montgomery County. Unless you're going to annex,
he's going to annex that.
But you know, I did convey some similar views at the meetings that we had discussing this parcel. Not particularly related to the developer, but related to the parcel itself, because it has been one that's been a subject of negotiations, lawsuits. And it does have a long history. In fact, I mentioned that, you know, I've actually been involved in design and development and execution of rail stations and rail projects that have taken shorter than this. But I think we all want the development to happen. The last thing that we would want to do is restart this process over the years. And it seems to me from the questions that we asked, Mr. Albert and also our staff, that there are some legitimate issues that can be resolved. There are kind of process issues that are being resolved, so this should be the last extension. But I also did ask for signature to the point that it should be. I think, you know, to some degree, we want to see it happen as well. We don't want to bring it.
Great. Any other comments or questions? All those in favor with the amendment proposed by Mr. Graham?
Ayes.
Ayes. All those opposed are present?
I vote present.
You vote present. Thank you. So unfortunately, I actually have to leave to attend to some other business, but Ms. Hewlett has been kind enough to volunteer to take over the rest of the meeting.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Does this matter now go to the board? The board has to approve it.
Yes.
Okay, on our agenda, next on our agenda is item 6B, to initiate new on-call contracts.
I'll make the presentation. Yes, I've asked Colin Meyer, who is our acting, who is our chief engineer and acting managing director for engineering, to join me to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you.
The purpose of today's request is to obtain concurrence of the committee and the board of directors to initiate six separate on-call professional architectural engineering and planning service contracts for fiscal years 2011 through 2016. You may recall that we were here in the spring to gain your concurrence, which we did, for contracts. So the fifth year of current contracts with a contractor to do all of the engineering work and another firm to do the planning efforts, which is in place and is going to be effective in 2010. What we're looking here for is actions to obtain separate contracts of each of the professional areas for fiscal years 2011 to 2016. Existing general on-service contracts from FY06 to 10 are in place for tasks related to architectural, structural, electrical, mechanical, train control, traction power, automated fare collection, and planning. These contracts on call program are valued at about $14.1 million. And the single contract provides us only awarding one principal primary contract with a number of subcontracts and tiers and extra funding. We believe it'd be more expeditious to establish individual contracts for each of the expertises that we're looking for, and our intent is to award these contracts prior to the start of fiscal year 2011. Our planning contract with Daniel Mann Johnson and Mendenhall is in place until September of next year. The contract for FY10 is valued at about $4.8 million. And again, we're asking for approval to award a single contract for planning efforts that would begin in September of next year. The proposed six separate on-call consulting contracts are first the architectural, structural, civil, electrical, mechanical, and new projects. That will include tasks such as those related to these areas throughout the system. The second contract is for traction power to support the efforts of the rail system and our engineering group to prepare for work in those areas. And third is an area of communications to assist in repair and upgrade communication systems and new technologies. The fourth is for automated train control and track work. Again, the contractor, the engineering group would provide us assistance in preparing for the work that we would do. It's work that was similarly done over this last weekend. The fifth contract would be for automatic fare collection to, again, assist in repair and upgrade in the involvement of new technologies for the rail system. And finally, the separate contract for planning, which is a contract that would include tasks related to transportation and land use planning, system expansion, corridor development, policy analysis, conceptual design, environmental and joint development support. So again, our recommendation is to seek approval to initiate six separate on-call contracts for the fiscal year 2011 through 2016 timeframe.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? Mr. Lincoln?
These accounts before us recently for, was it an extension of the existing contracts or seemed like we...
Yeah, in the spring, Mr. Couch, when he was here, we came forward to get approval for the fifth year of a five-year contract in both areas.
Okay.
So we're now looking at preparing for the next five-year program that starts July of next year. We'd like this time frame to put those contracts in place in time for the new capital program.
All right. Not losing it.
Okay. Mr. Benjamin?
You have my favorite words in the impact on funding statement. That there's no impact on funding, which always leaves me very nervous because it appears that you're asking for 6 years of authority, at least to initiate, I guess not to award.
That's correct.
And it seems like before we say yes, there ought to be some sort of dollar estimate or limit or something and not just go ahead and do whatever you want with these.
Well, Mr. Benjamin, what, when we got approval of these contracts, they're in place to work on projects that are approved by the board. Since we don't have a capital program for fiscal year 11 and beyond, we've identified in here that we are spending about $14 million anticipated on engineering contracts and FY10 and $4.8 million on the planning contracts. So once we have a capital program in place and projects are approved, that work would then be assigned to these firms. So it's a little difficult to estimate the value contracts without a capital program in place, and so we gave you the estimates that are for this fiscal year.
I understand the process, and I know how it's difficult, but typically a policy board wouldn't say, go ahead, whatever it costs. They would say some range, and it looks like you're talking here about $18 to $20 million a year.
I think that's probably a good estimate, and by the time we come back with the award, we should have a relatively good estimate based on the development of the capital program at that time.
So are you saying that you would come back with specific numbers as to at least upper limits
yes.
each year beyond which
yes,
you would not go without coming back to the board?
We would come back for the award and give you numbers for FY11 and then subsequently each year after that.
So you would come back each year before you would go ahead with the next year?
Yes.
So you're saying you want to initiate now to award to these people, but each year you would come back on an annual basis and say, here's the next year's.
Yes.
Given that, that would make me reasonably comfortable. I don't like the idea of going ahead without some estimate.
Right. Again, we're asking for initiation so that we can get the process in place as the capital program is also being finalized.
As long as we agree and we record carefully in the minutes that that is what we just agreed to, that you will come back annually for the awards and you will, when you're ready for the first one, come back and say this is what it's going to be for the following year and estimates through all the other years, I would feel far more comfortable.
We can do that, or we'll do that.
Mr. Linton, followed by Ms. Hudgens, followed by Mr. Newton.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I was always under the assumption that, one, when we initiated a contract with consultants, that when you came back after your award and when you executed the contract, that amount was that this was actually wrapped in an amount that was based upon an estimate that always came back to the board before you were able to proceed. In addition to that, I always thought that the contracts were always embedded in the language based upon the availability of funds. That's been my experience and the work that I've done with agencies, the private side of my life. So am I right or wrong?
Well, again, we have a capital, the Metro Matters program is ending at the end of June of next year. New process for a capital program. And we don't certainly intend to ask the board approval to award this contract until we have a firm capital program and estimate as to the amount of work that we would ask these contractors to do. We're asking to go through the procurement process to get these contracts in place. And the best estimate that we have is the type of work that we've done over the last 5 years. We've given you numbers that we're doing in FY10, and we anticipate there'd be similar numbers or larger going forward.
You haven't answered my question. You did your presentation, Mr. Benjamin. But the question I had is, I thought we had a process in place where once the actual contract was awarded, after you going through your initiation, after you secured your spending, there was a plan of execution against the capital program. The contracts were grounded in that plan, and they were wrapped in terms of their upper limits based upon what the available resources. Contract even going forward, you had a cause based on the availability of funds.
We have what we call commitment control on our systems, where if you actually are processing funding through the system for a contract, it will not allow you to go over that amount that's committed to under the board, under the board. That's what we call commitment.
So it would prevent the situation where you would overrun on contracts primarily, and it would also initiate the fact that we'd have to go back to the board to get approval for any modification for that. And that's currently what the process is right now.
I thought, based on the experience I've had procedurally,
and our systems, you know, we have systems in place that stop prevent that, and then we have processes in place as well.
Okay. Ms. Hudgens?
I think I've heard my answer, but I just wanted to reiterate the fact that I think that somewhere in this presentation there should be clarity of that, as well as you explained, because I think it is also priority setting that I think we should be looking at, and making sure that as not only the fact that we approve this moving forward, we need to initiate based on the priorities that we've set, as well as within the boundaries of some financial commitment. So I think your explanation is satisfactory, but I really do think that when we bring this back, we are clear and describe that.
Mr. Yule?
Thank you. I just wanted to, for clarification, it is on call. We're talking about the contractors, these A&E consultants who are currently on board, or will it be a whole new solicitation to recruit another batch of on-call contractors?
The current contracts are ending next year. This would be a new, not necessarily a new firms, but certainly a totally new procurement, starting from scratch with each of the individual expertises being selected for a prime contract.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions or comments? Okay, this is, we need an action, we need a motion. I will move approval.
Second.
Of initiation.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. And Mr. Rico, while you're there, item 6C, to initiate the first Orange Blue Line system rehabilitation contract.
Thank you. The next item is to obtain approval to initiate a project to provide for system infrastructure renewal for the Orange Line from Stadium Armory to Roslyn along the Benning Road aerial and along the Benning Road aerial structure in the Minnesota Avenue and Deanwood Station platform repairs, and along the Blue Line from Stadium Armory the Reagan National Airport stations and authority to initiate a contract to accomplish this project. As you recall, we came to the board on July 24th, 2008 to initiate the first Red Line system infrastructure contract, and on July 16th of this year, the board awarded that contract. What we're asking to do here is to, for the first segment of the orange and blue line that would be done over the periods of FY 2011 through the next 5 years. The current scope of the contracts would provide for station rehabilitation, upgrade and replace electrical equipment, rehabilitate and replace mechanical equipment. We would do elevator and escalator rehabilitation, right-of-way rehabilitation, upgrade automatic train control, etc. Some of the work that was done this week would be done in consistently at the same time that the work was done. This is not the work that was done over the last weekend. It's not work that wouldn't have necessarily been done by this contractor. This is additional work that would be done along the right-of-way and within the stations as we proceed. Again, it's very similar to the Red Line contract from the standpoint that we're trying to get all of the components within our rail department and within our engineering department to do as much of this work in the evening hours and to eliminate as much weekend work as possible. One more. These are the segments of the line, again, from Stadium Armory primarily over to Roslyn for the orange line, and from Stadium Armory to National Airport for the blue line. 24 miles of mainline track and 20 passenger stations would be involved in this work. Next page. Again, this is the type of work that we would be undertaking, totally coordinated with the rail department. They would be doing other work at the same time during shutdowns. We're trying to economize on the amount of effort and concentrate all the work in shorter periods of time, primarily in the evenings throughout the week. Next page. Again, here is the schedule. What we're asking for today is, again, to initiate a contract. We're looking to do that this month. To initiate requests for qualifications. We would then do requests for proposals at the end of the year, and again, be prepared in June to award a contract based on the funding that is provided through the capital needs inventory process and the development of a capital program. And based on our estimates that the work would be done in phases that are listed here, beginning with the Stadium Armory to Capitol South, with a duration of about 15 months, then on to Capitol South to Smithsonian, and continuing over the five-year period until the work was completed. When we looked at the request for funding for this project, we have certain funds that are available within the Metro Matters program that exist for FY10. $1.5 million. There is $40 million applied in the Beyond Metro Matters FY11 through 13, and a significant amount of funds of $338 million that is being requested or proposed as part of the capital needs inventory and the next capital program, which will be discussed in more detail at the next meeting. What we're trying to do here, the Red Line took us about 12 months to develop a contract to be able and available to do the work. And our request here is to, again, initiate a contract to get contractors in place to do the work that we have defined as the need along the orange and blue line, and that contractor would then be in place to do the work and work within the dollars that are finalized in the capital program for the upcoming years.
Okay. Mr. Yule.
Yes, and I apologize if I'm dense and not seeing it, but first of all, why is it it's going to take from awards bids being received and closed out on December 09 and then the awards not until June of 2010? Why that delay?
Well, I think, first of all, I think it's a very complex process. We did it with the Red Line over a about a 12-month period. We think that we can do it over a 9-month period going forward, since a similar process. And again, our desire is to have the contract ready for award at a time where the capital program for FY 2011 and beyond has been finalized by the Board of Directors.
So
the
contract it's just really waiting for funding to be put in place.
I think that they both should come about the same time.
Right.
I think it's a complex process.
And then it says contract award, but is it multiple awards over the to be done over a 5-year period? In other words, is it one you're going to award this 5-year volume of work to one contractor?
Yes, it'd be one contract for the full period, based on the availability of funding for each of those fiscal years.
Okay.
Mr. Benjamin?
This time, let me compliment you. You did very nicely on the funding impact statement. It very nicely breaks out the various years that you're dealing with this, and the current Metro Matters and what you believe to be the following. Now, I presume that what you're showing here is the expenditure. You've broken out in 10, you'll only expend $1.5 million, and then the tail of Metro Matters, you'll do another $40 million, but you'll obligate all $41.5 million this year. Is that right? So that's what Metro Matters requires.
The $1.5 million that's we'd want to commit that in FY10.
Yeah, but you can't obligate anything beyond FY10 within Metro Matters.
No, that's why.
So you're going to do all 41.5?
The 41.5 would be part of the overall program. That would be, we'd like to make the commitment. We'd like to do the contract work for the current Metro Matters funding of the $41.5 million by the end of fiscal year 2010.
Will you do an award for $41.5 million?
Like to do the award for the entire contract.
You can't do the whole one until you have the new one, but will you at least do the 41.5 by June?
Yes, if that is all that's available, then that's what we would. But we're hoping that the capital program will be in place by June.
But within Metro Matters, you intend to do $41.5 million by June, and this money is available in Metro Matters. I don't know whether I'm getting a...
Well,
can I make
no, the work is not going to be performed until fiscal year 11.
I think we're talking... Let me make a clarification, I think we're talking two different things. One is obligating the monies under the contract,
right.
And what I hear Jack indicating is that obligation wouldn't happen until the end of next June, because it takes a 9-month process to get the contract ready.
So within
I think your question is specifically, what are you going to spend out?
That's not my question. This says that, and I don't really care how you do it, but this at least implies that in order to do it against Metro Matters, $41.5 million would be obligated by June, because you can't obligate for Metro Matters after June.
That's correct. That's our intention.
Okay, so the intention is that.
Yes.
And if I understand, you're asking only for initiate, and you will come back and do award later. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. This is where I'm starting to get very confused on what's going on here. In the Finance Committee, you have a plan of contracts of almost $600 million, which presumably also obligates all the money left in Metro Matters.
That's correct.
Correct? In that one, you're asking for the same authority for the same project, or what appears to be the same authority for the same project, but it's initiate and award.
That's correct.
So which are you asking for, initiate an award?
And this all, actually, we were trying to have the FAO committee meeting this morning so that we would actually deal with that issue first. And last minute, it got changed out. So it happens that we have both presentations scheduled at this same day. So it's sort of like the cart before the horse. And I apologize for that. But we will be discussing it at the FAO committee meeting in a broader context. This is just one project.
But I guess the question is, are you asking for authority to initiate or initiate an award, since you're asking us for the same project in two different places with two different requests? Which is it?
Well, we're asking to initiate because we're hoping that the new capital program will be in place and that there will be funding available to do the full program as as we've determined to be needed over the next few years.
And in the other one, are you also asking for authority to award?
We're asking for authority to initiate and award, the consideration of the committee to have us initiate and award. That's correct.
Okay. So the second piece of this is, if I read this correctly, and again, in both places you appear to have done your finances very nicely, this says you have presumably $41.5 million left in Metro Matters that you want to obligate this year. In the other one, under what appears to be the same project, that's number 109, you claim to only have $33 million to obligate this year, because you've obligated it all, and that's the number there. So how much money do you really have?
We're looking that up now.
We're looking that up.
I could be reading it wrong, but that's the way it appears to be.
That was 39?
33 million on item number 109, which appears to be the same one as this one. Since they're only one-liners, it's really hard for me to tell.
I understand, Mr. Benjamin, that $33 million in the FY11 through 13 Metro Matters is the correct number.
Okay, so you're not asking for 41.
I understand it's 33 that we're...
Okay. That is, that I seems guess I have that a lot available
within the Metro Matters program.
But I don't know whether the numbers are right.
Yeah, I apologize.
So you're saying that instead of 1.5 and 40, it's only 33, and the rest of the money moves into beyond?
Yes.
The grand total?
That's correct.
May I note that it's very difficult to be a board member and look at various presentations you give us and not be able to know whether the numbers are right or wrong and whether we have the right thing and we know what we're doing? I feel very uncomfortable with this action, given that we don't know how much it is that we're actually planning to obligate.
Mr. Zimmerman, followed by Mr. Ewell.
Let me first ask a question that people are going to ask me, so I might find out what the answer will be. Given that we were just, you know, shut down for the weekend for reasons that were well discussed, and I agree with the sentiments expressed then by my colleagues, especially Mr. McKay on the subject. But nonetheless, we were shut down between the Pentagon and Braddock Road. We have a segment here that is being shown that includes Pentagon to National Airport. So I know people are going to ask, if you were doing everything while you were shut down that segment to get a hold up and out of the way, how come you got to go back there now and do that in that segment between, you know, Crystal City, Pentagon City, and so on?
I'd ask Mr. Myers to answer the question from the standpoint of the type of work that we would be doing. Now, the weekend shutdown was planned well in advance with the understanding that this contract would not be in place till next year. I don't believe that there's a significant amount of track work that would be done by any contractors. The track work that would be done in these segments, I think, would still be done by the rail department, probably during the same time periods. Colin, can you speak to the type of work?
I was looking for a simple answer, so let's not make it harder.
Okay.
Are you trying to tell me that the work that's to be done, number one, is completely different, number two, doesn't overlap with the work that we've done before, and just couldn't be done anywhere in the time frame of that other work?
The work that will be done is not the same as the work that was done over the weekend.
It couldn't be done simultaneously with that other work?
No, it couldn't be done simultaneously. The ATC work requires the track to be in place before the ATC can be modified.
They actually had to do the work they were doing last weekend before you could do this stuff.
Absolutely.
That's a good answer. Thank you. Second question. We've focused a lot, and I appreciate Mr. Benjamin's points on the fiscal aspects of this project. I was wondering, Mr. Requa, if you could give us the short line for the people over there that have to write their story to tell people, and this is like a $400 million item or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, 338.
Whatever the numbers actually turn out to be. It's a lot.
Yes.
So what is the short description of what's going to be done here that's got to be done and why it has to be done. What are you fixing in non-technical terms?
The system has been in place for 30 years or more, and there are mechanical systems, electrical systems, train control systems that are in need of repair. Their life expectancy is reaching an end. We want the system to be safe. We want the system to be reliable. It's time to come in and make these repairs and replacements. And this is a five-year contract to do that work to keep the system reliable and safe.
Okay, that's not bad. Now give me just a few descriptions, simple descriptions of the systems that you're referring to and what they do that's important.
I'll let Mr. Myers do that.
Okay.
We'll be replacing, for example, ventilating systems in the underground stations.
It brings air in and out of the station.
Absolutely. So there'd be fresh air. We'll also be doing escalator and elevator rehab. Those contracts are all independent, standalone contracts now. They'll be brought into one contract, and they'll be scheduled and planned as one contract going through the system within this segment.
So that the escalators and elevators will continue to operate.
That's correct. We will also be doing train control or communications upgrades, and again, that would be by station moving through the segment.
Does train control mean for automatic train control?
Automatic train control.
Does that involve also the ability to use 8-car trains under automatic train control?
Yes, it will allow us to operate 8-car trains.
Thank you.
There you are. Okay, Mr. York.
It's being back out of sequence. Can we defer this item and act on and review the finance committee and act on this?
Refer to the other committee?
We could. Is there any reason why we can't do that?
So you like that.
Okay.
I would actually be prepared to vote on it here, but note the fact that we. You know, if in fact they're saying that the numbers in the other document are controlling, I don't know what Mr. Yule wants. I'm very concerned about the fact that we have non-matching numbers in various documents that are in front of us on the very same day.
And you want it reconciled before board action?
I want it reconciled right this minute in terms of if what you're saying is that it's $33 million, not $41 million, and you're replacing the FY10 and the 11 through 13 with other numbers, and those will in fact total $33 million by the time it gets to the board, I would be prepared to vote on this and that the total stays the same. So you're moving more money into the out years. That is an adequate explanation, and we can go ahead with this project as far as I'm concerned. But I would hope that, first of all, you will come back to us for an award. You won't take the initiate an award that's in the other authority and just use that. And second of all, before you come back to us, you will please go to the JCC and go through this stuff in somewhat more detail, because all of the things that just got discussed are the kinds of things that we really need to have a better understanding of, and we're not going to have time to do that here. So if you could make sure the jurisdictional staff have adequate time before you put it in front of us again to really go through what it is you're planning to do and how you're planning and how the numbers really play out. And in there, it's much more substance and much less dollars. I would greatly appreciate it.
Not a problem. We certainly have the time to do that. Again, the procurement process is lengthy for a complex contract like this, and we have plenty of time to keep the jurisdictional staff apprised and in conjunction with the development of the capital program.
Mr. Yule, you have no problem with moving the item, moving the item at this point? I'm happy then to move the item.
Okay, were there any other questions? No. We have a motion. Is there a second? Second. Is there any additional discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay. Mr. Rico, you are on again.
The next item is the initiate of a rail yard infrastructure rehabilitation contract. Again, based on the same discussion we just had, this is, again, a request to initiate a contract to do the requirements necessary in 3 rail yards. Again, trying to have the contractor in place in time for the development and finalization of a new capital program. to address infrastructure renewal rehabilitation work in specific portions of the system instead of multiple contracts. Again, we're looking for one contractor to be responsible to minimize disruption and increase productivity. We want to reduce overlapping contract right requests to coordinate and work in the same area on maintenance projects with Metro's internal rail staff, and to optimize use of escorts and inspection and safety personnel in the development of this work. Again, we had previous board approvals, as we spoke on the last item regarding the Red Line Rehabilitation Program, its award. We just spoke to the efforts that we would like to initiate for the Orange and Blue Line. And on page 39, we talk about the scope of work or the items that we would be common to all of the yards that we would be rehabilitating. Again, these yards have been in place for a number of years. It's now time to replace shop building equipment, air compressors, dryers, steam cleaners, HVAC systems, plumbing fixtures, boilers, sprinkler systems. We need to bring electrical systems up to code. We need to upgrade security and public address systems, rehabilitate employee facilities, bathrooms, restrooms, office spaces, pavement and fencing of the facilities, install newer replacement signage, overhaul fire hydrants, rehabilitate wear services, including interior walls, floors, stairs, etc., in each of the three facilities. Beginning on page 40, we speak to the specific yards, with Alexandria Yard first, the type of the buildings that would be involved in having that work done, with an estimated expense of about $61 million over 18 months. At the completion of that project, we would move on to Brentwood, do similar type work at an estimate of about $37 million over a two-year period, and then finally move to New Carrollton and spend about $30 million over a 24-month period to upgrade each of these three yards in all of the areas that we've discussed earlier. From a finance standpoint, Mr. Benjamin, I note that on the line of contracts, and I believe the number that has been worked recently is $28 million, versus the 33 that we have indicated in the presentation.
Actually, can I interrupt? Because I actually have a clarification on the prior orange and blue discrepancy on the numbers and the one that he's just about to talk about. In the plan of contracts, it's purely the contractual dollar values that we would be placing with vendors. It does not include some of the internal labor estimates that we're estimating that water would incur for some of those projects. I think that's some of the discrepancy. We can go back and look at that, but that's what some of the discrepancy might be from the two numbers between the plan of contracts and what.
You certainly identified very quickly exactly what I was going to raise for this item. That the same discrepancy that's in the two programs exists here. And that it's very hard for us as board members when there are those kinds of discrepancies repeatedly to know what it is that we're dealing with and what it is that we're approving.
And I might add that the plan of contracts, as you all know, is a number. This is not it's an estimate of what we think the work or estimate could be. As they go through the diligence of the 9-month procurement process or whatever that might be, obviously that's going to be come out with a different number, not above it, but
somewhere. Willett, may I continue, please?
Yes.
I would just note, what you're asking for here is authority to initiate, and presumably at another point of work. So you're asking for contract authority to obligate, to commit and to obligate. That's the exact same thing you're asking for in the other document. So if you have these differences, they belong here, and they need to be shown here, because you're asking for the same thing in two places. So I have a lot of trouble dealing with this stuff. I just, you know, I don't know what I'm dealing with, and as a board member, I need to know what I'm dealing with.
We can clarify it.
Okay.
Mr. Giancola?
Yeah, on page 43 of this current presentation on the rail yard infrastructure rehab, you have a construction schedule, and as I looked at this, I was reminded of some thoughts we had last year we talked about the Red Line rehabilitation project and seeing some visuals on the whole system and what's going to be done with all these projects on the whole system. In other words, it would be nice to see something along this line a construction schedule for all the projects that we're going to be doing in the next 5 years, just so we as a board could kind of get a sense of where all the work's going to be done, what particular areas we need to kind of be concerned about from an operations point of view. So, you know, this is a piece, but I'd like to eventually see a full kind of CPR or whatever you want to call it, schedule of all the work that's going to be done in the system, not only the proposed Orange Line stuff, but this kind of rehab, the Red Line, other kinds of work that are going to be done. So that's all I wanted to add.
Were there any other questions? Mr. Cato, did you have something?
Yeah, just when you're done with this, go ahead.
No other questions? Okay. Okay, so we have a motion?
Move approval.
Okay, thank you.
Could we do it subject to the same issues?
Okay.
I did recognize that the numbers are all wrong, and again, I think it would be useful for the JCC to see details before we move further.
That's the motion. Is that a second?
That's a second.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second from Mr. Zimmerman, seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Just to brief the board, I just got a report that of a non-fatal event on the line between King Street and Potomac Avenue, Potomac Yard. When I showed the details that right now we show no employees working there, but someone apparently has come in contact with one of our trains. It is non-fatal. We don't know the details. The event is going on right this second.
This is north of Braddock?
Yes.
So it's above ground for Braddock?
Yes.
If you keep us surprised,
thank yes,
you.
Yes, we will.
Thank you. Okay. For letting us know.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Rico.
John Thomas, our Director of Major Capital Projects, will address the Cinderbed Road bus facility. John? Okay.
Morning, Madam Chair. Morning. Members of the committee, it's a pleasure to be here to talk to you about the proposed Cinderbed Road bus facility. We're here to obtain concurrence from the Planning, Development, and Real Estate Committee and approval from the Board of Directors for the public hearing staff report for a new bus facility, an amendment of the Mass Transit Plan to add the Cinderbed Road bus facility. A little background, in this past April, the Board approved the actions necessary to prepare for a public hearing for the new facility in Northern Virginia. In June, the board approved holding of the public hearing itself. July 28, 2009, we actually had the public hearing. The feedback that we received both at the public hearing and in comment during the comment period subsequent was focusing on traffic and environmental concerns. We prepared a draft public hearing staff report, distributed that to the community at large and all the recipients of the notices of the public hearing. We believe that we addressed the comments that were received as part of the public hearing. This presentation was prepared before the comment period was closed on the draft report. We did receive two comments on the draft public hearing staff report, and the final public hearing staff report then also addresses those two additional comments, which were basically reiterating the points that were made during the public hearing comment period itself. The proposed location of the garage is at the lower left-hand side of this graphic, and you can see it in relationship to the existing bus facilities that we have. This would, in all likelihood, replace the Royal Street bus garage that's currently in the city of Alexandria. And the photo on the right is an aerial view of the property that we examined that would hold the new facility, and it's on Cinderbed Road in Fairfax County. This is a photo of the existing garage. It's in the city of Alexandria, as I mentioned. It's, as you can see in the background, there are townhouses literally across the street from the bus garage. It's an old facility, does not allow for the new technology buses, and I'm sure that the residents there would like to have a different neighbor than a bus facility. The proposed facility, that's a rendering on the bottom. I will note that in the details of the proposed facility, there are two options, and the options only relate to the emergency access point to the facility. It would either be along option two, would be the emergency access, sort of, you can see the asphalt at the very bottom, and option one would have access across an adjacent property to the south. So those are the two, those are the variables and the two options. So the proposed action that we have here today is part of this process. As I noted, the final public hearing staff report addresses all the comments that we did receive and includes the following recommendation for the board to consider: that we construct a 160 bus facility on Cinderbed Road consistent with design option one, which is the emergency access across the adjacent property to the south. Designed a facility to obtain LEED silver certification consistent with board policy, and install the infrastructure necessary to operate compressed natural gas buses at this new bus garage. Therefore, the recommendation is approval of the public hearing staff report for a new bus facility and amendment of the mass transit plan to add that new bus facility.
Thank you. Are there questions of Mr. Thomas, Mr. Yule?
Thank you very much, and certainly this is music to my ears, and glad to hear that this process is moving along with the new proposed bus facility at Cinderbed Road, which will enable the bus barn in Old Town Alexandria to eventually out of existence. In terms of timing, again, the construction to commence, again, according to, in terms of keeping with this proposed schedule, construction schedule to begin in 2011 and completion by 2012?
It's theoretically, we could, if we started next July, we could be done by the end of 2012, correct?
All right. And then I read somewhere where this would allow for essentially bus operations at the Royal Street bus barn to be discontinued, correct?
That's
because
correct.
Be shifted to, right. But that nothing I've read so far, unless it's in some other document, says then what happens with the Royal Street bus barn facility.
We were very specific about not addressing as part of this process exactly what's going to happen with the existing facility. That's a board decision that we did not want to bring as part of this process.
All right, and we'll have that discussion when.
When we're in the process of having negotiations with the proposer for the facility, this was an unsolicited proposal. When we have that in a place that we can present it to the board, we will present that, and then we need to talk about the funding options. So it'll be the time when we talk about how we're going to fund this facility.
Thank you,
Mr. McKay.
Yeah, I would suggest that we do that sooner rather than because. I will tell you, you know, this location is ideal for what we want to do, and the opportunities to put a facility like this close in are exceptionally limited. And when I read over the comments that have come from members of the community, I think most of those can be overcome in this location. I don't see any deal killers in there. I think we can accommodate the concerns that have been raised, and so I would suggest we identify a source of funding and how that relates to the Royal Street location soon, because I can't tell you when we're going to have another opportunity to put a facility like this in a location that is this ideal. So I don't want that to get lost in the staff proceedings of what step is next. We need to look at this seriously, address the funding issue soon so that we can move forward, or we may not have an opportunity like this ideal. In the near term.
Mr. McKay, if I could just respond. With the assistance of the General Counsel Office, we are aggressively working on an agreement with the developer for the entire project for the construction of this new facility. We're working with the Finance Office into developing options, including a Tiger Grant that is being submitted in the middle of this month for funding of this project. So things are active, and we anticipate coming back to you soon with some recommendations and alternatives.
Okay, good.
Mr. Zimmerman, followed by Mr. Linton.
I want to underscore the point that Mr. McKay just made, which really cannot be overstated. This is important for a number of reasons. Clearly, as Mayor Yule indicated, it would achieve an objective that the City of Alexandria has been seeking for many years. It would free up as the indication of that discussion was, that would free up an asset that would provide value to the system. But the most important thing it would do is provide for the future provision of transit service in a major sub-region that we serve. And when I think of all the years it took to be able to get the West Ox facility to replace the small, aging, and inadequate facility in the Boston area, the land for which we just disposed of earlier this morning, you know, I think the opportunity to do this in a much more timely basis, I mean, this has come a lot faster than we were able to get with West Ox. I know that I spent a better part of, you know, my first, I don't know, 9 years or so on the board trying to make that happen. There are people on staff who worked on it for many more years. Kate Hanley, who used to be on the board, had been working for it for, you know, more years before, you know, I got here. I don't actually know how long it took, but it took quite a while. But it's quite an achievement, and not only because it freed up the Boston site, you know, for development that's more appropriate and all that, but because it provided a facility that now is a modern, up-to-date, first-class facility for Metrobus with room for expansion, with greater capacity right now and more capacity in the future, as well as for Fairfax Connector, which is also an important part of the provision of transit service in our region and allows us to achieve economies by working together. And I'm hoping that we can do the same kind of thing here. So this is a rare opportunity. If we allow it to slip away, we would have a hard time, and probably our successors would have a hard time coming up with another. So I very much agree with Mr. McKay. We have to try and find a way to make this work and make it work expeditiously. Thank you.
Mr. Lynch?
I guess I echo the comments that were made before. I had thought that when we had this matter before us before, and my colleague made mention of the unique location and the availability practices of this property, that there was a sense of urgency expressed then. And I think we now hear this expressed not only in Virginia. But I think going wide, you recognize the value and the opportunity.
Mr. Giancola?
Yeah, did I hear you correctly in saying that you were applying for Tiger funds or the Tiger Fund program for this?
Correct.
And of course, the deadline is next Tuesday, I think, right?
I believe the application is completed and ready to be submitted or has been submitted.
And what if it isn't funded?
That's just one option for funding. And again,
because there's going to be a pretty long vetting process to decide on the Tiger Fund, at least I'm expecting it.
It's anticipated that the Tiger Fund grants will be finalized by January.
Now, that's what they say.
I understand. And we anticipate, again, the public hearing process, as John has mentioned to me, is we've gone through it about as quickly as we can in the past. We anticipate having an agreement with the developer completed before, and that we hope to be back to you by the end of the year, calendar year, to give you some options on the report out on the agreement as well as funding options.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Lindsay.
Sorry, there are probably going to be enough Tiger grants from this region to exceed the $1.5 billion that's available for the entire nation. So what I've been hearing of the level of grant applications from local government, state government, and county government. So I sure hope we have a backup plan on how we're going to fund this if we are not successful in getting that.
Speak to that real quickly. I know the last time, I think it was a couple months ago, you spoke to the general manager and spoke about not missing this opportunity to put together a bus facility program, and we are actively working on that. The planning folks have laid out several options and strategies for dealing with our bus facility needs. One of the approaches is looking at the Tiger Grant. The second approach, we're looking at the next capital funding agreement as a possible funding source to move the rest of the program forward. So I wouldn't say that we put all of our eggs in this basket. We're hopeful. We're going to put together a very good proposal and see how it does, but there are other avenues for us to be able to fulfill the program.
Madam Chair.
Okay,
Mr. Zimmerman.
Good answer.
My impression is we're not putting any eggs in that basket. Essentially, this is a free ticket. You know, it's a free lottery ticket. You might as well find, and they're going to have the drawing before you spend any money anyway. So you might as well find out if you're going to get it. But I think that was a more, by the way, we're going to take a shot at that.
It's just an option.
CAP all along has been looking at, my impression, a range of financing options like we would otherwise be looking at that they're going to be presenting us in the normal time frame.
Ms. Hudgens?
Just to reiterate, I think the urgency and the discussion about our priorities here, to me, this is why I think I raised the point earlier about how we laid out some of the capital proposals that are coming forward and how we prioritize. And I think we need to have a larger picture of the capital proposals. Otherwise, we don't really see what the urgency is of Project A versus B. And I think we're trying to say, I think that this is one of the more urgent ones. And are there options that we need to be looking at? We're looking at them linearly, and it's very difficult to make decisions in a linear manner. I'll only say this for process piece. I hope that we can put these down in a document that as board members, when we look at them, we know what our priorities are, as well as what our funding is. And otherwise, we will find ourselves doing a scattershot approach. And this is one that I think you've done a good job of saying what the urgency is of the bus network that's been created. And we've made the board action. I think that makes that move forward. So I think it's a good thing to come back to us and give us, before this goes further, to say, how does this fall within the other priorities so we can make a realistic decision?
Any other comments? Is there a motion? Mr. Linden?
To move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
One point.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Just to note that the action we're taking is to approve the public hearing staff report.
Correct.
But also,
okay,
it is to amend the approved system to include this facility, which is fairly significant, not stated in the, but if you read the resolution, okay, see it does that. An action I fully support.
Okay. But just
but it should be noted that is the most significant thing that we're doing here.
Okay. With that clarification, is there any additional discussion? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. There being no more business of the Planning Development Real Estate Committee, before we adjourn, there's something I must say, and that is on behalf, this was not said at the beginning of the meeting, and on behalf of all of us present here today, we'd like to express our condolences to Mr. Cato on the passing of his mother just 2 days ago. Please know that you're in our thoughts and you and your family are in our thoughts and prayers. And we'd also like to, I for one, and I'm sure my colleagues echo the sentiment, would like to thank you for being present here today. We would have understood if you had left this meeting in the able hands of the Deputy General Manager, but it evinces your commitment to the agency and to our many, many, many customers. You're being present here today in the midst of your grief and all the arrangements that you have to make. So please accept our condolences.
Thank you on behalf of my family. I do. Thank you.